Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:02 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:02 p.m. on the West Coast. Today's date is 5/28/2022. Yes, it is. It's another month gone for you as we steadily go through the year 2022. Welcome to TMGS. This is the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Michael Gay, with my co-host, who are on CP time at the moment. they'll be chiming in soon because some of our co-hosts are in different areas. And I understand on this beautiful Saturday, at least here in the ATL, there's a lot of things going on. The lady of the house, Janet Davis, for those of you who listen to this show on the regular, is on vacation. Yes, she's gone home. Although she lives here in Atlanta, she's gone home up north. But she's going to chime in. And she does. She definitely deserves a break from me and the show. There's no doubt. She has always been the number one person that supports and puts a lot of this stuff together that you guys hear. You know, the topics, the itinerary that is shared with all the other co-hosts. Janet does all the research pretty much and puts it all together for us. Now, a week or so ago, I was looking at this show being a fun show, just having 2 hours of just fun and conversing about, you know, what us as the TMGS, as the Michael Gay Show, meaning all the co-hosts and all the guests have put into this being successful after being with another network, which no disrespect to that network, you know, I truly appreciate them and everything that you know, I've learned from them and everything, and given me the opportunity to start out and put together my own crew. But we managed to survive. TMGS managed to survive and stay on air. And though this is not our 100th episode period, I mean, if you count the shows that we've done in the past and everything, it probably adds up to about 300 shows that we've done over the years. But independently, we've done this 100 times. So I'm very thankful to all my co-hosts and all my guests for making it possible. In fact, I see an individual here that's calling me, and I'm going to open up a mic of one of the co-hosts. And hold on a minute. Let me see if I can answer this call. Let me open the mic to one of the co-hosts that I truly appreciate that came on board, the one and only Officer Trenchball. What's up, Officer Trenchball?
Happy birthday, Mike. 100. You made it.
Yeah, we made it. We definitely
Happy
made it.
Birthday.
We made it to our 100. Well, same to you, man. If not for you agreeing to come on board, you know, with your knowledge and your experiences, you know, I don't think that, you know, in fact, everyone, but, well, especially you, you know, because, you know, when I met you, you and I have been friends for a long time, and I was like, man, I'd love for you to come on the show, and you agreed to it, and look where it's gotten to, you know, look how far it's come. So,
yeah,
you know, I just want to give my flowers to everybody, you know, on this day. Amazing journey, truly an amazing journey.
Yeah.
It is,
man. You know, dreams do come true.
Well, I haven't stopped dreaming. There's a lot of stuff still, you know, that's still out there, and I'm going to share with you guys. Like I said, I went to the Black Music Honors last Thursday, and man, met a lot of folks and networked with a lot of folks, and you know, got a lot of numbers and emails and everything, and we're networking, you know, and that's the whole thing. Like I said in one of my posts, I said, you know, I enjoyed the show. It's a fantastic production. You guys can't miss it. It's going to air next month. You can't miss it. June the 25th. I believe it's going to be on Bounce, but I'll say it again, June the 25th. You've got to tune into this amazing production, amazing show. So, it was great. I want to open up another mic real quick, and then a person who's scheduled to call in just called me on my phone, so let me text them, or let me see if I can get them to respond back. And 301919, wait a minute, how is it that I know that number? I know that number, though I don't call it a lot, but I saw it, in fact, because I texted them. Let me open up this mic. I think this is my baby sister here. I think it is. Hold on. Let me try it again. Is this my baby sister?
You got that right. Happy 100th episode, bro. Hi, Officer Crenshaw.
All right, man.
Hey, what's happening?
Makeisha Best. That's Makeisha Best. Hey, y'all. Welcome, Makeisha Best, who's on the J King Network. Makeisha, how you doing today?
This is all about you. I'm great because you did 100 episodes flawlessly. I think you were a masterful host. You got Officer Crenshaw, Janet Davis, who was wonderful, your whole team, Cotton Campbell. I'm here to celebrate you all, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I truly appreciate it, my sister. I really am. You know, and what is so great is that, though many of us have never met each other in person, it's like we've known each other forever. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's amazing. Well, you can network and then feel like family, you know, and argue and fuss and debate like family, you know. That's the blessing about this whole thing. And that's what I love about it, you know, that we've been able to still do what we do and enjoy it and have this type of platform. Your show, of course, I want you to share with everybody how to tune in to you because you're on live tonight, right?
Yes. Real quick, Intro to Info comes on the J. King Network Saturdays from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Real quick, shameless plug because the focus is on you and your accomplishment, bro. I'm cheerleading. This all your pomp and circumstance right now.
Do you have a special guest or any topic we need to kind of like listen for?
We're going to talk current events today, bro.
Right. I get it. We're going to do the same thing. Hey, I gotta go ahead and jump to this because she's on vacation. But I said, now, you know, you still got to call in, right? And so I don't want to spoil her vacation, you know, because she went home and see the family and everything. But here's the lady of the house, the one and only Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
Hey. Wanted to call in to say happy 100th show, you know, because that's an accomplishment for us to be able to start all over again and come this far. So I'm happy for you and all of our co-hosts.
Yeah.
Who else was on? Was that Crenshaw?
Crenshaw.
Hey, Crenshaw.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Went Niagara Falls, Canadian side.
Oh.
She's having a good time.
You know where my mind went, Janet, so enjoy your vacation.
Yeah, I just called in for that because I don't want a lot of noise and everything to interfere. So I'll be seeing you guys next week.
All
and I'll
right.
try to listen, but I'm not going to say too much. So don't call on me, Michael.
Okay. I promise. I won't call on you for any questions or comments. Oh, by the way, you know what? I'm glad that I said that because I have to make sure. Well, the chat room is open. I just didn't greet folks in the chat room. So let me go ahead and greet everybody in the chat room so they know that I'm there. But St. James just called me, so I'm trying to text him because he said he would be on, but maybe something came up. And so let me text him back as we're speaking. But what I want to do is, and like I said, I didn't plan on talking about this, but unfortunately, this situation came up. So for the first hour, I want us to really get into a conversation about mass shootings and the recent ones. A couple of weeks ago, we discussed the one that happened in Baltimore. And then a week later, here's one in Texas. And let's look at the differences between the two, if you can see there's a difference, because I do, in my opinion. And I want to get into that for the first hour, and then we'll go ahead and try to celebrate our 100th. Sad thing is this, is that children were involved again, like Sandy Hook. Children, innocent individuals, were killed. All right. This young man who's, 18 years old, goes in and, as you all know, shoots up a school. Now the whole thing about gun rights have come back up again. And it's like, okay, well, let's look at what is the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, correct? But you could put a limit on age on when you can bear arms, just like you put a limit or age when you can drink alcohol or drive a car. You know, the Constitution has been amended so many times, if you really look at it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Been amended many a time to fit what is best for the population or best for the community, depending on what state you're in. And I bring that up because I'm looking at where here this gentleman was trying to buy a gun, finally got a gun, you know, bought it from a shop, and he goes on a shooting spree. He posted or he pretty much gave hints through social media that he was looking at doing harm. And then when you look at these young killers, keep this in mind, young killers in their teens, it's always said, oh, they have to be mental health issues. Even Governor Abbott said, well, you got to be mentally disturbed in order to go and kill a bunch of kids. I disagree. You guys might think that's stupid for me to say, but I disagree. You don't have to be mentally ill to commit murder. Because if that was the case, then everyone that's ever killed a bunch of people would be considered mentally ill. Everyone. Okay. And then I saw a gentleman who spoke the other night who is a psychiatrist, and he said, it's sad that every time these mass killings happen in the myth, that every time these individuals do these things, mentally ill, and that actually is kind of, for lack of a better term, disrespectful for the people who are mentally ill, who would not hurt a fly. Think about that. They have a mental illness, but they're not, they don't mean any harm to anybody. And I see mentally ill individuals almost every day on my job. But they don't attack me. They don't threaten me. And I thought that was really interesting when he said that.
Well,
you automatically assume.
If all of them are mentally ill, why don't they do more to help to be ill? They're not doing anything to help the ill. They're not doing anything to take guns away from anybody. To become a police officer and carry a gun, you have to be 21 to legally carry a gun. But you can
Correct.
Be 18. You can be 18 and go out and purchase a gun. That makes no sense at all. And then all the governors opening up the carry law to where you don't even have to apply for a permit. As long as it's carried in a holster, you can just throw a gun on your hip and walk around like the Wild Wild West. And they expect mm-hmm. police officers and firefighters and doctors and teachers and everybody else to do the damn job, that all they got to take and do is write it down on a piece of paper and do it. It makes no sense. Red flag law, if they involve that, he would have been caught months ago based on what he was saying. If I say I'm going to shoot President Trump a bird, and I'm throwing that last part in because I don't want CIA and all them at my damn doorstep, they would be here.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would be here.
But now, no, go ahead. You there?
No, go ahead, Mike. Yeah, go ahead,
okay.
Mike.
Okay. All right. Well, you make a good point. And I was on a show, well, a couple of shows during this past week. I chimed into a gentleman's show earlier this week, and everybody was asking, well, what do we do? There's nothing we can do. And I begged to differ. I said, yeah, there is things we can do. It may sound old-fashioned, but we can go back to the old-school ways of parenting and teaching kids. I brought up the fact that what I found interesting is that there's a company called Keystone Firearms or something. You can look it up. And they're the manufacturers of guns and rifles called my first rifle called Cricket Rifles. These are guns that are manufactured for kids. Guys of hunting rifles. All right, cool. I want to teach my kid how to hunt. Okay, we're going to go back into the Davy Crockett shit, right? Okay, cool. You know, but the law says you cannot purchase a gun until a certain age. So what sense is it where a person, an adult, is allowed to buy a gun for their 5-year-old or 6-year-old allow them to use it allegedly just for hunting? Does a five-year-old or six-year-old have the understanding that that is what it is only used for? When you actually are buying video games for them to show how to shoot and kill on Grand Theft Auto and crap and all these other video games, but you buy
right.
these real lethal weapons, I think there's a bad mixture here now. I really feel there's a bad brew going on.
It's home protection. It's for my safety and my family's safety. Now,
what I'm saying is that when you buy one of these guns from Keystone and buy it for your child for allegedly hunting, okay, so
right.
what's in the kid's mind?
That fell up under Daisy 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Daisy Rifle Company, which was, it was the BB gun.
Right. So what
mm-hmm.
they did was they enhanced the BB gun for the purpose of, like you said, the Davy Crockett teaching how to hunt and target practice. Then they came out with the pellet
mm-hmm.
guns and all of that stuff. But
mm-hmm.
it's not going to do any good when it comes to a real gun because, shooting at a target is one thing. Shooting an actual person is another. It will traumatize the hell out of you when you realize you have shot someone.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Even if you're trying to defend yourself. You don't take any glory or any praise in that.
Okay. But the thing is that what I'm saying is that we're how can you fault the children for their actions when you're actually giving them the right to do their actions? You follow me? Or the tools to do so at an early age. Does that
well,
make sense?
All that falls up under what the politicians have been ranting and raging about for months. The replacement theory and all of that shit. They want to be able to raise up what they would consider the supreme ultimate race. No matter what color it is, they want you all to think exactly the same and be the same. And it's not going to happen that way because our grandparents told us about history. Our parents told us about history. We're telling our children about history. They can try to hide it all the hell they want. It still exists. So all that, they want to be able to mold the perfect child in what they think is the perfect way. Well, I whooped the shit out of my child, so if they want to give theirs time out, go right ahead. I'm not doing that.
Did I lose you, Mike?
No, I'm here. I had to put myself on mute for a moment. But, okay.
Oh.
Let's look at it where, according to the Bible, which you've heard this said before, spare the rod, spoil the child. And some people will debate you to hell about this. Okay. Sorry to put the two together. That's not what it means. I'm like, okay, what is a rod? What are they talking about? But it says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Now, I know I was whipped as a kid. And, when you think back, I never had thoughts of trying to, I hate my daddy. I hate my mama. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that and everything. Because I come from a different era, right? Mother didn't give me something that I wanted. I didn't cuss her out. I didn't threaten her. If I even thought about doing that to either one of my parents, I probably would be dead. But you got a generation that feels like they can do that and put fear in their parents, and they do it on a regular basis. So I know there was a person who was saying, well, the media does this, the media does that. It's not just the media. It's just what we allow our kids to do in my opinion, you can debate me or you can disagree with me. I don't care. This is what the platform's for. But is that where we have become a society that just don't care about the upbringing of our kids, meaning this generation, and we allow them to play adult roles, okay? We allow them to be adults. I'm not saying you, but follow my lead, and I'll shut up and let you speak. But what I'm saying is this. I see this every day. Just yesterday, this kid was running in the parking lot of a Walmart, and the security officer was sitting inside of the truck and said, hey, grab his hand, you know, hold on to him. The mother said, you don't know him. He got his own way. And I was like, really? You're going to let the kid, you cannot control your, and this is a little bitty boy. The officer is concerned more about that child than the damn mother running in the damn parking lot. I put my hand up to God, I saw this. I said, this is really going on.
That's
something
that's too
simple. Go ahead.
I said, that's because we're too influential as a society. Somebody remembered, week before last, when I made the comment about me, Janet saying something about me and timing and whatnot, and it goes around and around and around. Well, it's the same thing. Somebody wrote a book about how to raise a child. Somebody read it. They was talking to somebody. They told them, and it just continued on and on to where now that's the way you should raise your child. You know, don't grab your child. Don't discipline your child. Do this. Do that. We're too influential as a society. We watch TV. We believe everything or damn near everything we hear on the news or we see on TV.
True.
You know, instead of finding out for ourselves, you know, we're going to take the word of somebody we don't even know off the news. Oh, it's going to rain today. Well, shit, it ain't rained yet.
Well, that's true, too. But, you know, I mean, it's a guessing game with the weatherman, which I've always said, you know. I've always looked at where I missed my calling. I should have been a meteorologist because you only need to know three words, chance, possibility, and maybe. Okay, so that's just the way that game works. But you follow what I'm saying with that word. No, I mean, that's pretty much what they tell you every time. Chance of rain in your area. Possible ground clutter. What the hell is ground clutter? I don't know, but I would hear them say all that stuff. But those guys are making a lot of damn money with a guessing game and a computer or radar. But you follow what I'm saying is that we're back to the whole thing about what happened.
Yeah, I mean, we don't bother to find out anything for ourselves anymore.
Right.
You know, we ask. You know, instead of going to the encyclopedia, we ask Alexis, we ask, what's that other little remote box for the TV thing? We don't find anything else for ourselves anymore.
Google, Alexis, all that, right. Correct.
Yeah.
But here's another thing that what we found out about this recent shooting is that it took almost an hour for the police to breach that classroom. While even the students were calling, asking for help. You know, you kind of wonder, why did it take so long? And my question is, what agency was controlling this? Because, you know, in these situations, normally the local police would be the first to respond. And then all of a sudden, here comes other agencies, right? When they get wind that this is serious. Who was in charge of this whole thing for that whole hour it took? Which from what I'm reading, I'm going to go ahead and pull it up, of that this whole thing took all of an hour, 45 minutes of which they did not breach the classroom. And let me see if I can pull this up. You guys bear with me. I found this an interesting read where local officials, it seemed like there's a lot of finger pointing as far as how this should have went down. And so
it is.
Real quick, Yeah, and that's the way I think, sadly, it's going to end. And I'm sick and tired of hearing all these, we need to be, you know, helping the families and praying for them and everything. That's not going to bring their loved ones back. It's not going to, that's not the answer to what's going on and what's continually going on. What blows my mind is that two mass murders have happened within a week of each other. That's what blows my mind. Racially, in the first one, at the Tops grocery store, but here now, here's kids involved, which is a bigger wound to the heart of America. Because I look at other countries, and I wanted to mention this on another show, how come we cannot look at how other countries respond to these type of things? And I'm not talking about the ones who have dictatorships, but just how they don't have the type of killings and murders that we have.
Well,
obviously they
like
don't
Britain,
many games, I
Britain
guess.
And
go ahead.
I said, I believe Britain banned guns. No one can carry guns except the law enforcement over there.
Okay.
You can own a gun, but you can't walk around with it.
Walk around with one, right. I believe that's the case. Yeah, you can own one. Okay, so let me just read this off. And I see time is on the board. I guess he's chilling and sitting back. And so, time, whenever you're ready to open up your mic, do so. I'm just going to do this. It says, delay in breaching classroom during Texas school shooting was wrong decision, official says. The decision by the on-site commander to delay breaching the classroom of a Texas elementary school during the mass shooting this week was the, quote, wrong decision, authorities said Friday. Nearly 20 officers stood in a hallway outside the classrooms during the attack on Robb Elementary School for more than 45 minutes before agents used a master key to open a door and confront the gunman, Texas Department of Public Safety Director Stephen McCraw said at a news conference. The on-site commander, identified by the Associated Press as the school district's police chief, believed 18-year-old Salvador Ramos was barricaded in a classroom in Uvalde during Tuesday's attack and that the children were not at risk, McCraw said. Quote, he was convinced at the time that there was no more threat to the children and that the subject was barricaded and that they had time to organize to get into the classroom. Quote, of course, it was not the right decision. It was the wrong decision, he said. Friday's briefing came after authorities spent 3 days incomplete information about the 90 minutes that elapsed between the time the gunman entered the school and when U.S. Border Patrol agents unlocked the classroom door and killed me. That's kind of an interesting story to come out. So they really, is this telling me they really could have, kind of like, I can't say,
yes,
stop
bro,
that,
yes.
But made it less.
They could have because they said, one of the quotes from the police officer standing outside was, we didn't go in yet because we could have been shot or killed.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So they could have gone in sooner than they did.
Right. They could have gone in sooner.
First of all, in if shooter situations, when you know he's already shooting, you go in. You took that job, you go in. You don't wait. But you got too many chiefs who stand by. Don't make
okay.
any.
Okay.
You know,
well, that's what I just said.
In.
But
right.
that's what I just said. My question was, right. who was the chief? Who took over this whole situation? Did they still leave it in the hands of, because I know for a fact, all right, and I don't have to watch a movie to see it, okay? Local law enforcement is the first one I'm seeing. Then maybe the sheriff comes in. Then maybe the GBI, like the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. Then the FBI, the Federal Bureau. You know what I'm saying? There's so many different levels. But the thing is, who was in charge at what point and what time? Who was the shot caller?
Actually, the first ranking officer on the scene becomes
correct.
The commander.
For the local jurisdiction, right, for the local police.
Right. Well, no, it wouldn't matter if it was a dude in a patrol car.
Okay.
When he gets there and assesses the scene, he's in charge until properly relieved, and it's determined that it's no longer an active shooter situation, and it becomes a barricaded gunman. Now, he went into the school shooting, so it's active. You know it's kids in there. You go in. He didn't go in and lock the doors and call 911 and say, I'm holding some kids in this school. So there's no negotiation there. What's going to happen is that police chief going to get screwed because he's at the bottom of the barrel. He's going to get screwed. He's going to get thrown to the wolves. If he did make the decision not to breach, then that's his ass. Because you get there, you go in. You don't stop and wait for SWAT and the ballistic teams to come in with the shields and everything. You maneuver down that damn hallway if you got to crawl down on your belly like a snake. And you find that shooter and you take his ass out. If you take one, that's the job you took. I've been shot. That's the job you take. You got helpless kids up in a school. It was no reason for any of them to be standing by. You had first responders that was outside of the school waiting. They went in to get their kids and only their kids. Mm-hmm. They're not telling that side of it.
Right. Well, here's another thing that was interesting that I looked at is that where parents were coming to the school, and I think if any of you saw these videos that have been recently shown, parents were, immediately coming to the school. And some of them were arrested. I read a story where one was handcuffed, one was pepper sprayed. Okay, so here's a conflict going on with these concerned parents because their children are being, you know, unfortunately being assassinated by gunmen, and there's no movement going on, which we just said. They're not being told what's going on. I think in their minds, and this is just my thought, they're not seeing anything going on. They're not getting any answers. Because obviously nothing was going on, which this individual said they didn't make a move for a long time towards the gunman. Officer Crenshaw, you just said. So I can understand a parent. I know if it was mine, I'd be like, just give me an AR-15. I'll take a chance and try to shoot it out with him. Since none of you all are going to do it because you swore to protect and serve. Anybody aware of that?
Yeah.
Parents were being arrested and pepper sprayed and handcuffed for their actions.
Well, they have to maintain some type of order.
I understand that part. Yeah.
Like you said, whoever was the first one there that took charge as the commander should have set forth a team for crowd control. You hold these people back because we can't take the chance in them going in and aggravate the shooter even further and they get killed. So they keep them out. That way they don't have to deal with more than what they already had. I understand that. But to arrest them, no. Take them over, talk to them, sit them in the car. You know, even if they're trying to get in there, close the car door, whatever you got to do to handcuff them and pepper spray them. No, you know their kids are in that school. It's just, it's such a small community.
That is true.
I'm frustrated over the whole situation because, you know, for one, he had an AR-15. For two, he had body armor.
Another one with body. Okay, wait a minute. He had body armor also, just like the last shooter at Tops. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So this tells you something. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They should have learned a lot from the bank robbery in California in the 90s.
There you go.
With shot and outnumbered by the ammunition
mm-hmm.
that those guys had, the body
mm-hmm.
armor they had, you know.
And for you folks that don't know about that story, you could look it up, and that was one of the most amazing. I believe it was Bank of America in the L.A. area of California where there was a robbery. These guys had full body armor. I think the only thing that was covered was their hands and feet. And fortunately, the officers were able to penetrate a weak spot. But these cats had, like, AR-15s, you know, those type of assault rifles. The cops just had shotguns, and it didn't do anything. They had to, and correct me if I'm wrong, Officer Crenshaw, the cops had to go to a local gun shop to get the type of firearms that they needed to bring these guys down, correct?
Right.
So that was one of the craziest things I ever heard before, but that's a reality. That is the truth. All right, so I want to open up the mic real quick. Not real quick, but I'm going to open up the mic to another co-host. Appreciate that he finally opened or waved his hand and chime into the conversation. But I want to ask you guys another question because I knew this conversation would go a long way. Looking at the last few masks, these suspects or these individuals were taken into custody. And let's be honest, the last few have been white. I'm not trying to make this a racial issue. This individual happens to be of Hispanic. I don't know what went down or how it went down, but I do question how long it took for them to respond to him. But now he's dead. He was shot and killed. So they'll never be able to take him to court and prosecute him, you know, understand why he did it or evaluate him of why he did it. But the other ones, they can't. And people are questioning that whole thing of where had it been a white kid, they would have brought him in unharmed. But here it is, a person of color, they killed him. Those are the conversations that are going on out there. I want to go ahead and open up the mic of one of our co-hosts, the one and only Mr. Time and Ship. How you doing, Time? And thank you for waving your hand. What's your
thought? I'm good, Mike. Watch out now, Mike. I heard that you made a racial situation. Are you trying to say that the white boys, that we only shoot the Negroes and the Hispanics? Is that what you're saying, Mike?
I didn't say it. I'm just saying that people are saying that they just killed the Negroes and the people of color. But the white guys, you know, get away. Yeah. That's what they say.
Well, you know, Mike.
I think we all are of color, per se. You know, white is a color.
Seems like
so.
You're trying to replace them, Mike. No, don't get joined in there with, you know, you be a part of that replacement. You will not replace us. You know how they're saying that. I remember Janet, though, they're talking about how they're going to, that we're trying to replace them, so, and everything.
Okay.
But no,
but
I think
but
that,
go ahead.
I was going to say that the Officer Crenshaw is completely right in the whole situation. All them fools is going down. Their ass going to burn, okay? You gonna burn because you didn't take your punk ass up in there. You put that badge on, but you waited an hour. When they finish with that investigation, heads gonna roll, and all the top dogs gonna push that crap all the way down on all the lower people. It works that way in there. You know it, Jay. Hey, it rolled downhill, and that's where it's going. They gonna find
mm-hmm.
out who screwed up, who made the decision. And they're going to get the hell on. Pretty soon, they might as well get ready because their job is going to belong to a bunch of Hispanics. I'm telling you now, because that's a Hispanic neighborhood, too. So they can cancel Christmas. They're done. They all of them. If they did not do, when they finish that investigation, and also, I don't think that they care anything about getting rid of these guns because there's too much money involved. Way too much money. They don't care. They didn't care about Sandy Hook. They didn't care about Columbine. They don't care. They can blame it on all the mental health and everything they do. They smoking everything but toenails. I mean, come on. They got all the drugs they want. It ain't enough. They doing shrooms. They doing everything. They say, oh, he was angry. But he ain't paying no rent. He ain't paying no mortgages. But he mad.
Yeah,
what
but,
he mad
but,
about?
But tell me, I gotta ask you this though. When you say that, this is me asking you, and I want you to respond to my question here. And I'm gonna try
to
bring it. I mean, we always hear heads are gonna roll. We hear that comment.
Right.
We said that about Donald Trump. We said that about, you know, the administration.
No. Hold on.
I want to finish this, and then I want you to give you all the time you need to respond.
Okay.
We hear that and everything. Heads are going to roll and everything, but you know how certain things work. There are folks who are going to, you know, they're going to finagle their way through it, right, for lack of a better word. But you know what that means, right? They'll finagle the way. They always find a way to blame something else or someone else for what happened that they did wrong, as we were talking about. Who was in charge? And the thing is that someone's going to blame somebody else.
I'm talking about, Mike, about the people that didn't go in. I'm talking about when they finished their investigation from what Officer Crenshaw was talking about. When they finished, hey, like he said, you hear the shooting, you go in. That's what you signed up for. Y'all have to tell me why. Because remember, Biden's coming there. And when Biden gets there, and also you've made the governor look like an ass, okay? The governor looks like a jackass. So now, like Officer Crenshaw was saying, whoever made the decision, because they were on walkie-talkies the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about those officers are going to, those heads are going to roll. Somebody going to lose their job. A lot of people going to lose their job. Now, either they may keep the police and fire the top dog, but somebody going to lose their job.
Okay, but if they lose their job, here's the thing that gets me, is that it doesn't stop them from getting a job elsewhere because we've seen it happen.
Oh, yeah, it does,
we've
Mike. You can't
food.
Just go
right.
Not in a situation like that. You make
no,
a security
a lot
guard
of,
job, but you're not getting a cop.
Okay.
Unless
well,
you go to, well, maybe you can go down to Mississippi somewhere.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And maybe that's good enough for them. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's good
right.
enough
Mike.
For them. This is Texas. That might be good. Here's the thing. They're happy of still being in law enforcement no matter what and still continue to do what they've been doing as long as they have a badge. Doesn't matter if they have to relocate, if they make a little bit less money. They still have control. I do believe that my sister was trying to chime in. Go ahead, sis.
Mike, so the parents got to the school, and they looked at the cops. They said, "You scared? We'll go in. Let us in. We'll go without them." The parents were saying this.
Correct. Right. I mean, they have more guts than some of the officers do. True enough. I mean, granted, that's kind of a crazy thing to do to some folks. But this is your child, and it always have to. And you have to look at it where emotions are high. You know. And officers need to look at what if your child was in that classroom. I understand you're trained to do certain things, but to be honest, and we've had this conversation before, to me, officers are not trained in the most important things. They're really trained to shoot to kill. Officer Crenshaw, correct me if I'm wrong, you said this, shoot to kill. If you pull your gun, shoot to kill. But they're not trained in being compassionate. They're not.
Well,
that's just something that's within you, which you shared on the show, Officer Crenshaw, of where you know how to use, how to be compassionate and de-escalate a situation where many officers come in escalating it. Am I right?
Correct. Correct. And that has to do with what you were talking about earlier. No more ass whooping for the babies. It's time out now. So, you know, your moral values are gone. You took a job because it gives you a paycheck, but you're scared to run into a damn building knowing that that's what you might have to do, but you're okay with pulling your gun out and possibly shooting somebody that can't shoot back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think what blows me away.
You run your ass up in there, and we all know, military, police, you know, trained snipers, they got on body armor. Once you figure out they got on body armor because they're not falling when you shoot them, you shoot their fucking feet. They can't Kevlar their feet. You shoot their fucking feet. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I'm with you, Chris.
I have to say this. You can curse on your show as long as you don't curse each other. You can say fuck, shit, ass, whatever. Just don't say it as a threat towards another caller. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so when this 18-year-old walks in to the gun shop, right, and he starts naming off what he wants to buy, and then he says, give me bulletproof vests, and give me, you know, he's got all these rounds. Nobody questioned. The owner of the shop did not say, hey, man.
No,
nobody
questioned.
What did he get a vest for? The vest was the calling for me.
He didn't ask for a short piece of pipe and nails and glass. If he had asked for that, they would have known he was making a bomb, and that would have been a red flag. So nobody questioned.
But the thing is that when he made this purchase. Now, I'm not sure how he acquired the body armor, but if he did have on a bulletproof vest, okay, yeah, for an 18-year-old, because you have to show your ID to purchase this type of stuff. You have to be 18. No one questioned.
What do you need it for?
Why would an 18-year-old or any age person would all of a sudden come in and buy this type of armor? I would ask.
He didn't have a bulletproof vest and on a stack jacket.
Okay,
where he could carry more magazines in the pouches and all of that, and you can have them with Kevlar in them.
Okay.
They said, well, Ty, you ain't about to make this racial. I said, I guarantee you if a brother had to walk in, and this is what the white folks said, yeah, they'd have sold it to the brother, but as soon as he got outside the store, they'd have called the police on him. They'd have made the money.
And then there's the evidence that he made the purchase.
I'm call the police.
Right,
but I'm
exactly.
Not gonna call
and
on the white boy.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew the boy, he shot his grandmother, okay? Now, I had a kid at my job that shot his mama in the back of the head while she was eating a taco. So I know, and he was 14 when he did his. But he used his daddy's gun. These kids are going to a actual gun store, and no one questions why he wants it. That bothers me. What do you want? The dude in Buffalo, New York, he bought body armor. So that's not normal. You're not going to do paintball shooting. What do you need body armor for? Nobody questioned that. But yet, if he decides you won't sell him beer, but you'll sell him bullets and guns.
Exactly.
You need to be 21 to drink liquor. But you need to be 18 to go take a life. He can roam around, buy whatever he wants. You know, and you don't want background checks. But we
okay, so let me intervene
free.
For a moment. Let me intervene for a moment on that fact. As I said, I've tuned into a lot of different conversations on different shows, and that was one which you just said. It's kind of backwards, if you ask me, because I know that, I mean, I was born and raised in California, and the legal age to buy alcohol was 21, ever since I could remember. Of course, I mean, I was drinking alcohol in my teens. You know, you had to sneak it, or you got your brother to buy it, and this and the other. But I was never a threat. None of my friends were ever a threat to anybody. You know, back in the day, we used to walk to house parties, so we weren't driving cars. Not all of us had a car back in the day. You know, we didn't have parents who bought us cars. You know, nowadays, kids demand their parents buy cars, but that's a different story. But back to the whole thing about age, if you can say that according to the Second Amendment, you have the right to bear arms, but it does state at what age, correct? Because the laws in different states say at a certain age you can buy a firearm. The question that I have and that was always presented on the other shows was, what do we do about gun control? Do we make it a certain age? Do we raise the age? Because it's like we raise the age from 18 here in Georgia or to 21 that have alcohol to 21. Do you raise the age of being able to buy a gun to 21? Because you could join the military at 18. But at 18, you can go shoot and kill folks for your country, but you can't buy a damn beer. Think about that. That's crazy as hell, ain't it? You can serve your country at 18, camp and everything. Can I go to the bar and get a beer or the local store? Nope, you ain't 21. But you could die for your country. Think about that. To me, it's kind of backwards. And again, I'll say that where these companies that make firearms for kids, my first rifle, Cricket, hunting rifle, to me that bothers me. And I don't care what anybody says, my personal opinion. I don't think any child at 5 or 6 or 7 years old should be introduced to any kind of a weapon that can kill you. For hunting purposes, no, not at that age. Maybe when you hit your teens, 13, 14, you know a little bit about life. You know a little bit about your surroundings. Maybe then you could introduce your child to hunting. But 5 or 6, 7, 8 years old, and these manufacturers are making guns for these kids, these babies? No. How do we solve this situation? I don't have an answer. I really don't. I think what might come off the top of my head, many folks might say, that ain't going to do it. That ain't going to do it. Well, I do believe that we have to do something. Sometimes what America needs to do is, as I said before, look at the examples of other countries. We do not have to be, you know, the way their country is as a, you know, if they're a Republican country or country that is like a China or whatever, but obviously they found a way, like Japan, where their murder rates are so down. It's, in fact, someone mentioned England. Look at Japan. Their murder rates are nowhere near ours whatsoever. And I do believe they can carry guns there. Correct me if I'm wrong. Recently, I just saw a gun shop, the owner of a gun shop here in my neck of the woods, say that his sales went up 30%. 30% since the recent shooting.
That's a lot. And he has a big-ass gun shop. And the one weapon that people are buying, it's not handguns. It's the automatic, the semi-automatic, the AR-15s or whatever you can buy, the assault weapons, 30%.
His gun sales probably did go
up. I'm sorry?
His gun sales probably did go up because with all the politicians yelling about gun reform laws and then all the Republican politicians yelling about replacement theory, people are scared.
Yeah, well, you know what gun shop I'm talking about. You know which gun shop I'm talking about over there on Southcroft Drive, which I could say,
yeah.
Which Outdoor Adventure America, okay, huge place, right? Got a ton of weapons in there. They have everything you need if you want to go out there and be a killer. They got it.
Yeah. And that's because they're afraid that somebody's going to come to their home and have more powerful weapon than what they have in their home. That's what a lot of that is. But still, for an 18-year-old to be able to go and buy one, you know, if you're 21, so be it. You know, hell, they just raised, you can't buy cigarettes now unless you're 21 or older.
And that's not harmful to anybody else but yourself. You know what I'm saying? That's not harming anybody else but yourself. You choose to buy it, that's you, right?
Right.
I think alcohol is the same way. That's only harmful unless you get intoxicated and you have a DUI and you crash and kill somebody. But a gun is final. And again, I'll say that what really got my attention on this is, like I said on another show, it was interesting when I heard a psychiatrist say, it's sad when all these mass shooters are considered individuals who are mentally ill. Not all of them are mentally ill, you guys. They're not. Because
they're
when
not.
You can plan and plan, the guy that went to the top store, he actually drove 200 miles, planned it out first, drove 200 miles back, put together his whole plan, put it on social media, live streamed it, drove 200 miles back to the location and killed those black folks in that predominantly black neighborhood. And guess what? He was taken alive. Hallelujah.
See, what's happening, Mike, is we're doing...
That's not mentally ill. Well, I'm sorry. I'm almost done. That's not mentally ill. That's not mentally ill. That is plotting and planning from a dangerous mind, from a sect, from a group, from a mindset of hatred. It's not mentally ill. That's just hatred. Over
in-house
killer, and it's taught, and so I don't call that mentally ill, because the individual who was talking about this when I was watching him, he said, you know what? It's sad because of the fact that there are many of mentally ill people who would never harm you, would never think about hurting you, and I see mentally ill people almost every day, and you all probably have to. You probably seen that young child who talks and walks around in circles and this and the other and everything, and the parent is like, come over here, and they come back over, and they might be fidgeting and everything. They have a mental problem, but they're not dangerous. They're not trying to harm you.
The majority of them won't unless they feel like they're being threatened or you're trying to harm them.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is that what this individual said, it's a sad narrative or a sad myth that every time that we have these shootings, they always say it's a mentally ill person. So that gives us, or that makes us as a society, think that anybody who has a mental problem could possibly be a mass shooter. That's sad.
What we've witnessed in the past couple of weeks really is, it's terrorism. It's domestic terrorism because it's happening within our borders, because
right.
what we would normally do as far as tactical missions that we were set out, the areas that they are attacking is military strategic type. You hit your elderly, you hit your young, and you hit the sick. Because that's what we care about the most here in America.
Mm-hmm.
We care about our elderly, our young, and our sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if a hospital something.
Right. And our children. And our children, of course. Well, you said young, right. I want to go ahead and give everybody a chance to respond before we change gears here. I did not plan on talking about this Saturday. I really looked at 2 hours of having guests who've been on the show before and just having a fun show, to be honest. That's what I really had planned. But unfortunately, this event occurred, and these children, and including these adults, and here's another Sandy Hook. And what really eats at me is when I think about the Sandy Hook situation. And at that time, you guys remember the assholes who sit up here and said it was a hoax and said this was set up. You remember them and shit? Y'all remember them. Said that was a hoax. Kids being murdered is a hoax that the media set this up. Stop blaming the media for every damn thing that happens in America, okay? Please stop blaming the media. Start taking responsibility of what happens. I'm serious. Stop blaming the media. Start taking responsibility for the communities. Start taking responsibility for your local government. Blame Fox News. Don't blame CNN. They're just doing their job of telling you what they know. And they don't know everything. And I'm just speaking just from my own heart. They don't know everything. Just like any other TV show, the news is in competition to give the best story that they can. I'm not saying that they're giving you the worst information. Many a times they have to retract the information. I respect the ones that do. But everybody says, stop listening to the media. Stop listening. Well, stop. If you're in fear of your kid going to school, take them out of school. And if you can homeschool your child, well, then go ahead and do it. If you're smart enough to do it, do it. Thing I've come to realize, this is not going to stop. Because for one reason, this is a country that is supposed to be a melting pot. This is a country that's supposed to be the land of the free, where anybody and everybody can come here and do whatever they want to do. But unfortunately, that's not true. Again, I say, that's my opinion. That's not true. And unfortunately, we have the most guns. We have the most murders. We have the most people in prison. Oh, and by the way, when it comes to rights, you got individuals who have gone to prison, right? So they lose their rights as a felon. They can't vote. They can't own a firearm. But according to the Constitution, it says you have the right to own a firearm. Unless you're a felon. The Constitution doesn't say that if you become a felon, you can't own a gun.
I've never read that. Has anybody else ever read that? It's not there. That's policy according to states, not according to the law, the Constitution. And I believe in the Constitution, but we have to remember how long ago that was written and how the world or the nation, I should say, not the world, but the nation has changed since the Constitution was written. And we as a people should be able to look at it where, hey, we have to come up to date with things and be in agreement. But it's not going to happen because there's so much racial issues going on, and there's a lot of fear of, you know, white folks this, black folks that, you know, it's just folks from other countries and this and the other. So much of that bullshit is going on, and we are buying into it. Many of us are buying into it, and it saddens me. It really does. It saddens me. Okay, so I just want to go around the board before we change gears and let everybody chime in with their last thoughts about this particular topic. I want to go with Officer Crenshaw since he has the most experience in these type of situations. Officer Crenshaw, what are your final words on this situation that we're dealing with? And do you believe this will happen again real soon? I'm just throwing it out there. Or maybe not. You know, because
I believe it will.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it will happen again, and it's going to happen again soon. And okay. I own a gun. I own a couple of guns.
I'm pretty
so
sure
I,
you do. You're a former officer.
I'm
you
not,
should.
Right, but I don't think guns should be taken away from people. But I don't see why you need a high-powered rifle to defend yourself. If I get a pistol and I learn how to shoot it, and I learn how to shoot it accurately, and I'm not afraid of it when it goes off, and I can control it in my hand, you know, if I don't hit you, and what they're selling now is 8-round mags, you know, I have a 16-round mag from my service weapon. If I don't hit you with my first 5-6 shots, you need to kill me. You coming into my house, but I don't need a gun that's going to actually tear my house up while I'm trying to get you to leave.
That's a good point. I like that answer. That's a good point. Very good point. You don't want to shoot up and tear up your whole house to get a person to leave. That's
right.
A damn good. I like that. I like that. Makes a lot of sense. Let me go ahead and go to, I know Janet is on vacation. Her hand is still waved, but let me see if she wants to chime in. Janet, are you still there? Enjoying her vacation as she has traveled to the north area. The one and only Mr. Thomas. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I'm here, but I said I wasn't going to talk.
I know, but I'm going to see if you want to go ahead and give a comment on this last topic before I move forward.
I think it's unnecessary for people to have a gun that can do 30 or 40 rounds because it's really, that's just outrageous. And like you were saying earlier about the you can't buy beer at a certain age, but you can go buy an AR-15. That's outrageous also. And I actually believe this is going to continue. As long as we have the media channels and the internet and places that people can go to that's feeding them a whole lot of BS, you know.
Right.
Because I've been looking at the different comments and everything that even some of the senators have said, and it's just, you know, they're not going to learn until it hits home. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you so much. All right, so I'm looking down the board here, and I see there's some folks that are here on the board sitting back in the cut. Okay, I think my sister, Cynthia, Dr. Cynthia Lee Smith is on, and a few other folks. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. Did I miss anybody here? Yes, I did. Time and shift, your thoughts before we shift gears. Timon, you there? Okay, he might have stepped away for a moment.
One quick comment, Mike. I don't know the answer to this, but I just want to ask in relation to, you know, buying a rifle at 19 and, you know, the abortion law change. How old do you have to be to buy a condom?
Probably 18, I would think so, because I'm going to tell you honestly, I work at a Walmart, okay? I have no shame in saying I work in the electronics department. Everything that's over there is damn near locked up. And then there's times that where, you know, they even have condoms locked up at certain Walmarts. And I have keys, and they'll call me and say, can you come over here to the such and such department and unlock a product? And I'm like, well, what do you need? And I need the Trojans. I'm like, okay, what size? Anyway, but
I was just curious because, you know,
go ahead.
I was just curious, you know, with all the laws changing with age limits and restrictions, you know, but it's like they're changing the law to benefit them. You know, and I don't mean white, black, or anything like that. I mean rich and wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true. Interesting. Hey, look, okay, so we're going to shift gears, and because we went 18 minutes over time of this whole thing, but I want to thank you guys for chiming in on this topic. Is there an answer to it? I really doubt it, but I'm glad that we can talk about it, and Hopefully, the young generation, these individuals, can understand that what's going on now, and I'm just saying in general, is a warfare. It's definitely dangerous to their future. You know, when this country has a issue within itself, other adversaries outside of us will take advantage of us, okay? And it's going to keep going on and on. You all know what I mean, right? I hope you do, because I see it. I see that where our kids are into violence, too much violence, too much hatred is going on, too much in our music, in our movies. And let me finish. In our music, our movies, the games that they play, I mean, it's getting out of hand, guys. And it's becoming a fact that they're getting immune to this type of violence. And it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous, in my opinion. So with that being said, I want to go ahead and let Shannon, I believe, go ahead and speak, and then we're going to change gears and take a music break and come back with our 100th show celebration. Go ahead, Jenny.
Well, no, basically the same thing you said. The children are becoming desensitized. They play these video games. They kill all these people in the games, and then the next day they go back and play the same game again. But when it's in real time, not in reality, they are not coming back. You know, so I think they need to really think twice about how they're selling all these games that you say they find at Walmart and, you know, Fortnite, and all the theft. I think that is really messing with a lot of the younger people's minds. I really do.
Most definitely. Okay, so let's take a quick musical break. And what we're going to do, we're going to get, even though we have about maybe, 40 minutes, but today is our 100th anniversary show here on the TMGN, which is the Michael Gay Network. This is the show. But We've launched our network recently because coming up soon, you're going to see and hear more shows on TMGN, and I'm so happy that that is in process. I want to give a shout-out to all the co-hosts, all the special guests that we've had since us leaving the J-King Network. We've been blessed to have a lot of individuals who have continued to support us and get us to this milestone. So I just want to say thank you to all of them. Not all of them can be on the show today, but what I'm going to do is honor them through music and song, and a few will be calling in. At least they were scheduled to. Hopefully they will. But Talakai, remember him? That brother, so talented. Let me go ahead and play one of his cuts called Beautiful Creation. We'll be right back here on the TMGS.
But I swear you the baddest. You far from the average. I'm stuck like an average. And you down for me? Ride around in the city trying to find a beach. Cause we stay kicking it. And when I leave, I'm missing it. Beautiful in every way. Your love is so significant. Just like a model, a sign of perfection. Won over my heart. Ain't no need for elation. Perfect selection. I love our progression. Keep my head up every time that I'm stressing. Yeah. Cause baby, you know me. Flow dope like a vein on some PC. You make a brother fall back like a GED. I make you so hip hop with this R&B.
Michael Gay Show on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. And that is Talakai with Beautiful Creation. I love that song because it's positive, you know. And great song. He was a guest on the show during our transition from the TMGN, I'm sorry, the J King Network. And so thanks to a few other artists that introduced us and a few other individuals like Cotton Campbell, another co-host that introduced us to him. So much love to him. I have an individual here on the board who also has been on the show more than once and totally different. He's not a recording artist. This cat here, and I'm going to tell him or ask him, please hit the number one so I can open up your mic. And you guys may remember him being on the show. Hit the number one on your phone, and I'm going to let him introduce himself because recently he did something so amazing here in Atlanta, which saved the lives of many bees, okay? He saved the lives of many bees. So let me open up his microphone. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Introduce yourself to everybody so they can think about remembering when you were on the show and what you do.
Hello. Hello, fans of the Michael J. Show. My name is Edward Morgan. I am an apiarist, one of the few black apiarists in, well, I could say the country, definitely in Atlanta. So apiarist slash farmer.
Hurt Road.
Okay. Hurt Road. Right. Okay, I don't know if Janet is on mute or anything, and Officer Crenshaw and Janet both live here in the Atlanta area and live not too far from where you are, but you all know where he is, right?
Yes.
I know you see his beehives there, and I've seen the brother go from, you know, four or five hives to I don't know how many now, but, and he's been on the show before, but wow, amazing of how he has built this and continues to build. Share with us, Edward, what you did recently, which made the news here, and I saw you on the news and how important it was, what you did as far as saving these bees that were in transition from another country, I believe?
Actually, they were – so I received the phone call about a month ago from a beekeeper in Alaska. She called me on a Sunday evening saying, hey, you don't know me, I don't know you, but I need your help. Imagine that. So she said, she had 200 beehives at Hartsfield Jackson, and the airport, Delta, the airlines, was saying they will not touch the beehives again because some of the bees have gotten out. She wanted me to go over there to fix it so they can make their way back or make their way to Alaska. But what happened, there was supposed to be a direct flight from – she bought the bees out of Sacramento, and somehow they got rerouted to Atlanta. And they ended up staying in Atlanta for like 2 or 3 days. And by that time, because they sat on the tarmac, they probably attracted native bees in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked me to go over there to fix it. So when I got there, I saw a couple things. For a beekeeper, there was only maybe 100 bees flying around. It was no big deal. But for someone who's not into bees, of course, they panicked. And after a little bit closer examination, I realized that some of the bees were dead. But I couldn't tell her exactly how many. So I called her up and I said, hey, the bees that have gotten out is really not the issue. Some of your bees have died. And it became a bigger story than I anticipated. What I tried to explain to her is you had about 10 beehives that were dead, and I couldn't see the rest of the beehives the way they were packaged. And I asked her, I said, hey, how long before these bees get shipped out. She was like, they're going to be shipped out 3 o'clock Monday evening. I said, well, they're not going to make it. And what you really need to do is probably try to sell them in Atlanta. Well, that was the initial conversation. And she said, well, I don't know anybody in Atlanta. So I got one of the top bee people, in the state on the phone. The three of us were on the phone for probably 20 minutes. And by the time we finished, she just agreed to give the bees away. So then I had to call the president of the Beekeepers Association of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And he sent out a message on Facebook. And within 1 hour, I probably had 25 beekeepers at the airport trying to get free bees.
Wow. That's
so
fantastic.
It actually, so I got that call, but it became a national story because NPR came out, CNN, New York Times, the Washington Post, the AGC. So everybody wanted a piece of it, and it was just because I took that phone call.
Right. Exactly. And that's how come because you've been on our show, and like I said, you live right up the street from me, and you've been a guest on here, and everybody, a lot of folks didn't realize how, beekeeping is such a interesting, thing to do. And once you came on the show and people listened to it and they said, wow, I didn't know that there's some money in it. But, and you relieve a lot of folks of the fear of beekeeping also, okay,
which
you just explained. But then for you to be a major connection to saving these bees because, as you shared on the show, how important are bees to everything that we eat every day?
Well, they pollinate two-thirds of the fruits and vegetables that we eat every day. And supposedly there's research that supports if the bees disappeared, that we as humans would disappear within 3 to 5 years because you can't get all of your food from a cow or from fish. You have to have the fruits and vegetables. And it's also based on the size of the population, right? Mm-hmm. So there are some fruits and vegetables that are self-pollinated or wind-pollinated, but two-thirds have to be pollinated by a honeybee.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. And that's how come I'm so glad and honored to say to you, I appreciate you being part of the journey of the TMGS, the Michael Gaze Show, and sharing that knowledge, that information. So in the future, we'd love for you to continue to come back and share more of your ventures and what you do. I mean, actually, all we have to do is just turn on the television from time to time, I guess, and see where you're doing something amazing with bees, man. You educating us, and that's the whole principle of what we do. Thank you, man. I truly appreciate you and love you, man. You guys, go ahead, put your phones down and give a round of applause to Mr. Bernard Edwards for his input and his love for what he does, and really has a lot to do with what we take a granted for. Thank you again, man, and thank you for calling in to the show and sharing that. Truly
thank you, and congratulations on the 100th show.
All right. Well, stay tuned because we have a little bit more to go. We're at 7:34 p.m., and thank you for being part of our journey. 808-498, I'm going to open up your mic and let you chime in. Yeah. Welcome to the show, caller.
Congratulations on your 100 show.
It's the one and only amazing Grace. Hey, Grace, how you doing?
Congrats. I'm good. I was up in the Bronx at a little get-together event, so I'm just now calling and just got back.
Well, hold on. You said you were up in the where?
Bronx, New York.
The Bronx, New York? Okay, so let me tell you guys a little bit about Grace. You never know where Grace is going to be. I just saw her last week at the Black Music Honors, okay, here in Atlanta. And Grace will post where – she won't tell you in advance. I've seen where she will talk to me one day, and 2 days later she's in Dubai, okay? Seriously.
that's the world traveler right there. The number one fan of Karen White, the amazing Grace. Thank you, Grace, for calling in. I appreciate it. So where's your next venture going to take you? Back home or to another location? You there, Grace? Okay, I think we might have lost her. Okay, we might have lost her. Okay, well, thanks again to Grace for calling in.
Can you still hear
me? Wishing you,
is that, okay. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, so no telling. I move silently these days now, you know, because you got to move silently. I just show up.
Show up. I understand.
I don't tell folks where I'm going anymore, not even my mom. Nobody knows where Grace will be until Grace shows up and says, here I am. You know, I'm retired now, so I'm just enjoying this little thing called life. You know, I've worked for 34 years, so now I'm going to try to live a little off the next 34.
You served this country for 34 years, right, in the military?
Well, no, I did 9 years in the Army. But the whole 34 years was with the government.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I said you did 34 years. You're not that old.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for your service.
I gave the government 34 years, totally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So quickly, we still have a little time here. Just kind of like briefly tell everybody what to expect when the Black Music Honors premieres next month on the 25th. You were there. Fortunately, I was there. Tell them a little bit about what they should expect and why should they tune in. I mean, you have your own look into what it was. I know it was awesome.
First, I must say, oh, my God. This is what a show should be.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was so amazing. Nobody was stuck up. I mean, everyone was amazing.
Right.
I got Tevin Campbell. I spoke to Tevin. I spoke to the only person I didn't get to talk to was Mary. I met Mary quite a couple of times, but the show is amazing, y'all. Y'all need to tune in.
Right.
Kid and Play did their thing. Them guys were moving like was back in the day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Avery mm-hmm. Wilson, he sounded pretty good. I forgot some of the other names. Dion Farr kind of surprised me. I was
There was Carl Thomas.
Yeah, I
had the pleasure to talk to Carl, and the moment I told him that I do a show, he said, well, I'm going to come on just because you do a show. And he said, there's my manager sitting right there instead of him. So I'm going to make sure that happens. A lot of great individuals that you guys, the listeners, probably never heard or know about, but they're out there. They're amazing. What's the young lady's name that did the tribute to Karen, that did Karen's song, Superwoman?
Shalia? Okay,
yeah.
Shalia did Superwoman, and
mm-hmm.
and Amber Breely Evans did Love Saw It, and I love the way you love me. And I just told Karen she needs to call in. I reminded her it's your show, so hopefully she called in before you guys cut off.
I hope she does. That would be great. That would be fantastic. She knows about it. I know her number.
Yeah,
so she
just send her a reminder.
She will get me. I would definitely.
I think she just responded back to me. Yeah, she just responded. So
fantastic.
I hope she called him.
Okay, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so then also.
So,
congrats
again.
Thank you again. I truly appreciate it. I'm going to open up the mic to an individual who's been on the show a few times. And we love his music. We love his support here on the PNGA. And if you guys, if you're not on the show, please mute your mic if you're not speaking at the time. But this brother here, I love him so much because he brings out some. It seems like he brings out a new song almost every week. I mean, he's just blowing it up. Truly, he's amazing. The one and only Mr. St. James has joined the show. What's up, St. James? How you doing, my brother?
What's up, Mike? What's up, everybody? How y'all doing?
Hey, what's up? What's up?
I'm good, man. Just work. You know, music business don't stop for anyone. So I'm still grinding every day, probably 7 days a week, bro, independently. You got to do it. Take time off in between when I can, but it's nonstop, man.
Exactly.
Continue to press joy.
Man, you know, I was listening to a lot of your stuff in here, and I'm looking at the board, and I have so much of your music here, and I'm just so honored to have you on the show, and always look forward to keeping folks posted on what you're doing.
Thanks, man.
I mean, you know, you have just so many great artists that are under your label, and again, TMGS, or better yet, now the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, want to thank you so much for your time and making time to come in and share your gift and your great music, man. It's just amazing. It's
not a problem, brother. We without y'all, it doesn't get heard. So it's kind of an honor to be on your show and a few times already. But just getting to know you virtually and till we meet face to face. But ultimately, it's good networking, man, with good people that follow through, do what they say, keep their word. And if they can't, they give you a jingle or a text to say to verify or confirm stuff. Man, we gotta get better with that as a people. And in the entertainment industry as a whole, man, you just can't take people's time for granted, man. You know, you see how short it is.
Right.
People dying every day, man.
You're right. And it's sad that we see that people are dying every day. I want to definitely give everybody a little sample of what you do, because what you do and the music that you share with us, I love the positive of it. You know, there's so much positivity in your music. I'm going to do this real quick, and hopefully Karen White may chime in. I don't know for sure. I can't make that promise, but if she does, that would be great. We have about 15 minutes left in the show, and if necessary, we will go into overtime. But you guys, check out this positive cut here by St. James, and give us a little background about this one, because I love this song so much, and some of the artist names that are singing the whole praises in this song. And it's called "It's Gonna Get Better." Tell us about that.
Oh well, real quick, it's a motivational, inspirational record based upon at the time Stephon Clark, was gunned down in Sacramento. 20 shots on the block is the concept. 20 times they shot at him. All he had in his hand was a cell phone. So with that being said, we met his mom and everything. She came to the studio. I pulled together about 26, 27 independent local Sacramento artists together. Came in the studio and. Man, it was amazing, the chemistry and the way we put it together, and that's the end result of it. Would have loved to shoot a video of the actual of that record with these artists, but trying to pull that stuff together is difficult before COVID. You know it is afterwards. So I just put like a nice little video to go with it, like a stock footage video, and then just try to sell the concept of the record. But thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey, you guys, here's St. James. And hey, the Sacramento. I mean, well, to be honest, I mean, this is a family
collective,
affair.
Collective Efforts Music Group. That's what I call them. Collective Efforts Music.
There you go. We'll be right back after this.
St. James.
20 shots. 20 shots. And what they'll do is release the body cam so we can watch. While they kill on paid administrative leave, we grieve over the bloodshed that our sons and daughters bleed and chant, no justice, no peace.
Can't you see there's another brother going down?
Prisons full of our men, mostly black and brown.
So they raise the working wage.
So the poor can get paid better.
Don't you listen to what they say.
I'll tell you everything we use.
Inside, got the media, internet, sports, as an outlet. And that's why.
Give up no matter what.
to keep it going.
Knowing that the bills do.
Knowing that the bills do.
Got to get the kids school.
Got to get the kids
school. You a parent and you single.
Doesn't really seem to
matter. Raise them on your own.
Getting my own love.
Single dads all over the world. It's up to us to make it work. Gotta get right.
Your nose going crazy. When you hear the news lately. Kids shooting out of school. Breaking all the rules. Ain't nowhere to go to feel safety. The cops are on the payoff. Kill a brother cold blood and don't even get it laid off.
The only thing that a president seems to do is spend time in the country club playing golf.
TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL Atlanta, Georgia.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James. Thank you for supporting the independent artist movement and R&B music. You can find me on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and on my official website at www.stjames.com. Let's get it, baby.
There we go. I forgot about that, St. James. I forgot that that little hook was in there.
Hey, I appreciate
totally
the free publicity and the free advertising.
Hey, you're you know, no problem.
Thanks,
hey, thank you so much for calling in to the show. I appreciate it so much. And look forward to you coming and joining us again. Hey, and wow. Probably next month, right? And we'll get together. But I'm going to go ahead and make sure that we get that whole thing together with that that song that we were talking about on my next paycheck,
yes,
okay?
Sir.
So we'll do that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Mike, everybody.
Okay,
take
thanks.
Care. All right.
All right, God bless you, man. Thank you so much. All right, so I see some hands that are up and waving, but there's some calls that are coming in, but then they're dropping out. Oh, I see one here. I'm going to open up this one, 818. Wonder who that is. Let me go ahead and open up the mic. 818, what's your name and where are you calling from? I don't recognize this number.
Congratulations.
Hey, Michael Gay, this is Karen White, and
hey,
I just
hey.
Want to congratulate you.
Congratulations on your 100th show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And it wouldn't be possible without you two. I knew the number. You know I had to play that role. But thank you so much for calling in on this special day for us. You know, to be honest, we've done more than 100 shows, but You know, you guys have been so supportive with the venture that we've been doing. So I thank you so much.
Well, we're so proud of you guys. You know, anytime you can be diligent and have perseverance and do something and do it with excellence, and we're just, you know, I'm in awe. You know, I really love how, you know, the new media, the new black media is off the chain. So congratulations, and thank you for playing my music as well as my artist, and I'm part of great, and we definitely need you. We need Black Radio. We love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And, hey, we look forward to supporting you next month. I believe it's going to air on the 25th of June. It is the Black Music Honors, and you being honored. Oh, wow, that was such a great event. So we look forward. So we're going to definitely keep letting folks know to tune in to that show. Awesome. Awesome event.
Yeah,
and you definitely deserve your flowers.
Yes, maybe we can do a redo. If I'm not on the road, maybe we can do our redo Saturday or Saturday. Does anybody know? Oh, maybe we can do our redo on that Saturday before the show.
That'll be fantastic. And I'll make sure there will be no issues. I'll make sure of that. Okay? I'll make sure.
Yeah. It was a great show. And the beautiful part I was telling Derek was that there was such a beautiful energy. You know,
right.
Kevin and Drew Hill and Carrie and Mary and the Whispers. And it was such a closeness that we had and that we shared. And I love the fact, I was telling Derek, it's kind of like we all were kind of underdogs a little bit. Maybe probably should have been bigger in our careers, but maybe something happened. So so it was interesting. And we'll talk about that more on the 24th.
Okay, fantastic. And you know what, I was blessed to meet Carl Thomas. When I told him that I do a radio show, he said, well, you know what, I'm going to come on your show just for the fact that you do one. He said, there's my manager sitting right there. Set it up. I'm like, okay. So that would be great. That would be fantastic. But you guys,
yeah.
I mean, all the people who were there performing, and I'm going to let you go because we're running short on time, and I know you guys are always busy. But, you know, as you just said, just the spirit and the feeling in that whole room was just so positive. And, you know, you guys set really the course of music. And when I show photos and share the music to some of the younger folks now, they're like, wow, okay, yeah, now I remember that. Wow, you know, they're still around. Yes, they're still teaching. They're still performing. You need to, you know, take the history and learn from it as you grow in what you're trying to do. And you guys did a fantastic job. The whole production was just awesome. So, I'm sure everybody who's listening right now is probably saying, well, I got to make sure I put that on my calendar. The 25th, the Black Music Honor.
We'll find you on the 24th. So anyway, congratulations. I know you got 5 more minutes. We just wanted to tell you congratulations. And we're proud of all of you guys. And look forward to doing the interview with you on the 24th.
Most definitely. Much love to you guys. Hey, you guys, please do me a favor and give a round of applause to the one and only Superwoman, Karen White, and the amazing, who they call the Alchemist, Mr. Derek Muhammad, writer, producer. I mean, this cat wears many hats and caps, okay? Doesn't matter. He wears hats and caps. Don't matter.
Yeah. So we'll have Derek on here, too, because we share what he's doing. He's got some incredible things that we're doing together. And so it's going to be, you know how we do. We're going to have fun.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all enjoy yourself. Let's go out with a bang.
There you go. Okay. All right, so you guys, we're going to get on out of here to all my co-hosts, to all my I'm serious. I'm just so honored that this weekend has turned out, our 100th show has turned out to be a great show. I appreciate all the co-hosts, the one and only Miss Janet Davis, the lady of the house, Officer Crenshaw, Time and Ship. Fortunately, a couple of other co-hosts did not make it this evening, but that's all right. You know, we'll talk to them next week. And to all of you, the listeners, the people who support us. I thank you so much. All my guests, Mr. Edwards, the number one beekeeper, just everyone who continues to support the TMGS. Karen White, thank you. And we'll be back next Saturday live as usual here on the TMGS, which is turning into the TMGN. Don't forget, a new show is coming up next month called Let's Talk About It, hosted by Cotton Campbell. And we're just building and growing. And thanks to everyone who has supported us. All right, I'm going to let you all get out of here. And a round of applause to everyone real quick before we go.
All right, studio audience, that's enough, studio audience, that's enough, okay, you guys, thank you, all right, thank you,
but we're going to leave this time on a different note than we normally do. We're going to play a cut from Karen White called Dance Floor. You guys enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. We'll see you next Saturday. God bless. Peace to you, and we love you. This is the TMGS.
It's about the TMGS.
Michael Day Network.
Good night.
Peace. Papa Dio. Yeah. I think I'm ready to come back and do this again. I think I just want to see the dance.